are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Hey, it's good to be with you. I get to be the interim teaching guy here. And so if you're new here, welcome, welcome. So glad that you're here. We're in a series we just kicked off last week talking about these three stories, how God has given all of us a story. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have a story. Do it. Go. Ready? Go. You have a story. Okay, good. So we've established that everyone, I don't know why you're laughing at your neighbor's story. We'll get to that later maybe. But we do all have a story, and we also, everywhere we go, the people that we meet, that's why I just had you do that, the people that we live with, learn with, work with, and play with, they all have a story as well. And today we're talking about God's story and how our story is connected to God's story and the people that we meet with. Eventually, hopefully, their story is connected to God's story. Now, I have to offer this disclaimer right up front. For some of you, if that sounds familiar, like this whole three-story thing, you're like, hey, I feel like I've heard this before. You have. I have no problem admitting this. I completely stole it from Youth for Christ. It is their deal. They branded it. They put it together. Like years ago, a buddy of mine, he was a YFC leader, and he said to me, he was like, hey, would you come with me to this Youth for Christ evangelism training? And I was like, that sounds boring. Like, no, like, I love Jesus. I talk to kids about Jesus. I don't want to go to a whole day. And he goes, come with me. It'll be fun. I was like, okay. And I went, and my mind was blown because they had done such a really good job because they work with high school students. They'd figured out, like, how to kind of take this and make evangelism, like, pretty simple, that I have a story. And if I've come to faith in Christ, it's connected to God's story. God has a story that he's given us in his word. And if I get to know his story, I see how my story is changed by him. And then I hang out with these other people who their story isn't connected to God's story yet. But eventually, if my story is connected to theirs, I can help them connect their story to God's story. See, I don't know why I needed a whole day to discover that, but I just explained that to you. And it was brilliant. And I was like, oh my gosh, these guys have made evangelism so tangible and practical, easy to get my arms around, that I've been using it for 15 years and when I talk about evangelism. So completely stole it. You can learn more from Youth for Christ. Google it. It's on their website. Like, just don't tell them I stole it, okay? But here's the thing. But they didn't invent it. All they did was they extracted it. They actually didn't start that. It's in here. They gave it a brand, they gave it a logo, they gave it, you know, you get t-shirts and the whole deal. Like, you know, they branded it, but it's rooted in God's word. From the beginning of time, stories have been told, and we read God's story, and then we see how our story is connected. This is a book of stories, and don't send me angry emails. I know it's more than that, but it is God's story. And so all they did was they said, hey, how do we make this, how do we make this portable for people? And that's our hope too over the next several weeks as we look at this and study God's word and study evangelism, study the stories of God's word, and eventually we understand his story better. We understand our story in light of his story, and then people that we hang out with, we get to help them connect their story to God's story. So that's where we're going to spend time today. We're going to go to the book of Genesis. If you want to stick your finger in Genesis 1, we're going to go Genesis 1 verse 26 is where we're going to start. And today we're going to do something. We're going to start in Genesis and we're going to end in Revelation. And no worries, we'll have you out for lunch. Okay, we're not doing the entirety of scripture today. Instead, what we're going to do is we're going to look at two bookends. We're going to look at two bookends, Genesis and Revelation. Now, I'm curious, if you are under age 25 in the room, raise your hand. Just, I'm not going to make you do anything. Raise your hand, 25. Okay, good. All right, so we see how many, there's a bunch of you here. That's awesome. If you are under age 25 and you know what bookends are, raise your hand. Okay, so not as many hands. So I teach four classes here at the high school. It is so funny. In video production, I teach storytelling and I teach bookends. Like, let's start the story, let's introduce something, and then let's end it here. And the first time in class that I said bookends, kids looked at me like a puppy dog who had seen his first butterfly. And I was like, you don't know what bookends are. Do you know what books are? Like, you know, because like we're just, and it was funny, I was talking to somebody after first service. He goes, yeah, bookends. He was like, every 80s movie, it was used as a murder weapon, like a bookend, like these big bookends. So for those of you who don't know what bookends are, they're the big weights that we put at the end of a bookshelf to keep the books from falling over. Like sometimes you'll see them, like one end will have the head of a fish and the other end will be the tail of the fish and they keep the books together, right? Does it make sense? Some of you are like, oh, bookends, yeah. When we used to have libraries, you would see those there, okay? So we're going to look at Genesis. We're going to look at this beginning of the story, and then we're going to end in Revelation, and we're going to look at that bookend as well. In between there are these stories, is God's story of his creation, of our poor choices, brokenness, of his redemption. And then eventually we get all the way to the end to restoration, where God shows up in Revelation to John. So let's start in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, oh wait, we gotta figure out where we're at. God has already created birds, water, air, sea, like all the created beings except man. Okay, so that's where we're at. So we're taking on day six. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. That let's make man in our image so that they can rule over everything that I just created. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. From the beginning, we see that God has given us a purpose. That God created us and we're made in his image and in his likeness, and he gave us a purpose. It's important for us to remember that when we're looking at our story, that sometimes it can feel like our story has no purpose. Sometimes in life, it can feel like our story has no meaning, especially in seasons where our story is filled with brokenness, heartache, fear, crisis, tragedy. We can scratch our heads and go, is there a purpose to this? Like, what is happening? But from the very beginning, it's sown into the fabric of creation. Our story has a purpose. God's story actually gives us our start and our significance. We see here that mankind is given a role to fill the earth and subdue it. And we have authority over all of these things that he created. He gave us a purpose. So if you're wondering, am I here for any particular reason? You are. Creation, the very beginning, tells us that we have a start and significance. Now, I need to pause here for just a second because this series is called Three Stories. And unapologetically, we're talking about how we share the love of Jesus, okay? So we talk here all the time about we're gonna show and share the love of Jesus, show and share the love of Jesus. We said we need to talk about, very candidly, how we actually do that, how we actually share that. In a lot of circles, the churchy word is evangelism. We need to talk about evangelism, how we do that. So if you are here, and I just need to say this, if you are here and you've never experienced coming into faith in relationship with Jesus, you're here because your friend invited you, you're here because you drove by and thought it was a school event, it's the wrong thing, but now you're trapped. Like, I don't know why you're here, but if you're here and you've never heard that you have significance, you do. And I need you to hang in there. Because, yeah, we're talking about how we share this with other people, but as we talk about how we share this with other people, you're going to learn that you're not here by accident. That your story, you as a person, that you matter, that you are significant. that you're here on purpose, for a purpose. God's story woven into creation gives us a start and it gives us significance. But then the text goes on, verse 29. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the whole face of the earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They're going to be yours for food. He's going to care for us. And all the beasts of the earth and the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. I love this. And it was so. Because when God says it, it happens. He says, and it was so. And we look around, we go outside, we see creation. We're like, yeah, okay, where did this come from? Well, he did that. And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was, what are those next two words? Very good. If you read the account of creation, he creates all these things, and day one, he says, it was good. Day two, it was good. Three, good. Four, good. Five, good. Six, very good. I've got good news for you. When he created you, you, even in your brokenness, even in your craziness, even in the things you've done, he still looks at us at his creation and says, very good. There was evening, there was morning on the sixth day. He takes a break, looks at Adam and Eve and says, okay, two of you are here. I'm going to give you some instructions. Not a lot. One rule. They screw it up. Their story starts a chain of events where we are in a broken relationship from that point on with God. And if we stop the story there, that's a really lousy story. That's actually called a tragedy, if you want to look at it. Literary, in literary terms, that's a tragedy. But the story doesn't stop there. And I think we all need to be reminded of that the story doesn't stop there. Because when I look at my story sometimes, and I know, and right, so some of you, like I'm friends with, now this sounds weird. I'm going to say I'm friends with some of you and you're like, we're not friends. Like, don't get hung up on that. Like I'm friends. Like I know some of you better than I know others of you. And if you dig into my story but I always know more of my story than what I'm going to let you know. I know all of my story. And my story is broken. And when I live in my story, all I can see is just my brokenness. But the beauty is we don't stop there. We see our brokenness, but we have to continue to find ourselves in God's story because our story is broken, but his story is much bigger. It's the importance of helping people connect their story to God's story because my story is really, really small and tiny, and it boils down to some of the events or some of the poor choices that I made. But God's story is huge. It is big. It is enormous, and it's so much bigger than you or me. And it's so much bigger than any particular moment that we'll ever experience. I had a moment a couple years, many, many years ago, I was a youth pastor, and a kid had reached out and said, hey, can I meet with you after school? I was like, sure, no problem, just swing by the office. This person swung by the office, walked in the door, and I could tell from the second they walked in the door, something was up, because their shoulders are down, they walked in the door, you know, sat down. They're like, can I close the door? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. Closed the door and said, I need you to tell you something. I need to tell you something. I was like, okay. And they said, well, I need to tell you before you read it in the paper. And I was like, okay. And they went on to tell me this story. It took about 4 or 5 minutes to tell me a story how, you know, they're underage. They got caught at a party, underage drinking. It was going to affect like their sports time, their play time. They were probably getting kicked out of school. It was bad. The police were called. Like there's lots of consequences to this. And they tell them the story and they're just laying it out there. I'm like, wow, that's crazy. This person stopped talking. And I said, so what'd you do the rest of the weekend? And she went, what? I said, what'd you do the rest of the weekend? She said, did you hear what I told you? Did you hear what happened on Friday night? I was like, yeah. Yeah, you just told me. You spent 5 minutes telling me. That sounds awful. What'd you do the rest of the weekend? She said, why are you asking me that? I came to tell you about what happened. I said, because you are bigger than that one moment. You're bigger than that one choice. Your story is so much bigger and you've lost track of that. You think that's your story. No, that's an event. That's not your story. Your story is bigger. When we help people see that their story isn't that one moment, that one choice, that one event, all of a sudden, they're engaged in a much bigger story that, by the way, spoiler, has a really good ending. It's important that we help people connect because they're going to see their story just simply as broken. But God's story is so much bigger. And if you're here and you can't see past what happened this week, this month, the last test result, the last poor choice, the last fight, the last whatever, I need you to hear this morning. God has a bigger story for you. A much bigger story for you. This week, let me back up. Last Sunday, I challenged all of us to just simply have our eyes open for some people. And if you weren't here, here's what we did. We just said, let's have our eyes open for people that we can nudge and people that we can investigate and just hear their story. People that we can just look at them and say, hey, what's your story? Because we looked at the story of Jesus who crossed a lake, found a naked, crazy guy in a cemetery. Go back and listen to last week. I don't have time to explain the whole thing. But he found this guy who's not in his right mind. And Jesus just walked up and said, hey, what was the question they asked him? Anybody remember the question to ask him? What's your name? What's your story? Hey, what's your name? Right? And that ended in this guy sitting in his right mind at Jesus' feet. His story then was connected to God's story. So that's what we looked at last week. And so this week I had a couple different events where I was like, well, I told everybody else to do this. I should probably do this. And so on Thursday, I found myself at this conference. I was speaking at this thing. And afterwards, these people are just hanging out. And this lady comes up and she's talking to me. And I was like, oh, I should ask her the question because I need to do my homework too. And so she looks at me and we're talking and as she looks at me, I said, hey, so what's your story? She goes, what do you mean? So here's a little life hack for you. Like, don't panic in that moment. Just repeat the question differently, okay? That's all I did. I went, what's your story? Same question, same question. She's like, what do you mean? What's your story? And she goes, oh, like I had said something different. Like I have no idea what to, she goes, oh. And then she's like, well, I started this job like 3 or 4 years ago. I was like, I didn't ask about your job, but hey, let's go with that, right? She's like, I started this job like 3 or 4 years ago and it's been really hard. And you know, I feel like people don't appreciate what I'm doing. I was like, whoa, here we go. We're in. And it was just a chance. It was a chance to just let her tell her story. This is what's going on. I didn't know where she was going to start, but it was super simple. Now the story doesn't end. And then we got on our hands and knees and she prayed to receive the Lord. That's not where it ends, but it was a simple way for her and I to experience a connection around something bigger than the moment, which is the conference that we were both at. Another thing happened the day right before that. I get to help lead one of the clubs here at the school. And we had invited Whitco, Wawasee, Lakeland, Tippecanoe Valley. So there was like probably 40 or 50 kids in this room together. They didn't know each other at all. And so we're going to be together for like 8 months. And I was like, man, we got to figure out a way to fast track these kids to get to know one another so that we can do some cool stuff together. And so we just had them up out of their seats. And I said, go introduce yourself to 2 or 3 people you've never met that you don't know and find their name and something about them. Right. And so you ask high school kids who don't know each other that question. They all do this. Right. And so I was like, no, really, I mean it. And so I'm watching the awkward, you know, teenagers walk around the room trying to get to know each other. And so this one kid comes over to me. I was like, hey, tell me about you. And he goes, oh, well, I'm a sophomore. Da, 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 da. And tells me 3 or 4 things. And he starts talking. And I'm like, oh, okay. I'm kind of in charge and I got to keep this going. I was like, awesome. Great. Go find 2 other people. Right. And so he goes and find 2 other people. I turn around. There's nobody around. I'm like, okay, I got to find somebody. And I hear him. This is so funny. I hear him look at the girl next to him, which by the way, sophomore boy talking to a sophomore girl he doesn't know, like talk about the most awkward social experiment ever. Okay. Here's what I heard him. Here's what I heard him do. He turns around. He goes, hey, says his name. He says, tell me about you. And I was like, he cheated. Like, he totally took my question. But then I realized, even he realized in that moment, this is a pretty simple way to just hear somebody's story. Tell me about you. I don't know what the girl said. I don't know if they're getting married next week or what. I don't know how that story ends. But why is it that we make it so complex? I need to say this. There are hundreds of ways for us to share the story of what God has done for people. Countless ways. There are countless ways to do that. I'm not suggesting by any means that this three-story idea is the only way. So please don't get hung up on that. Right out of college, I worked in advertising for a couple years. One of the things I did was I sold cable television advertising. So I had clients in a small market, and I would go around and, you know, I'd say, hey, tell me about your advertising, what you guys do. And they would say, look, listen, we've got a budget. And I would say, hey, what's your budget? And they're like, oh, I'm not going to tell you my budget because you'll take my whole budget. I'm like, stop. I don't want your whole budget. I do not want your whole advertising budget. That doesn't do me any good, because if you put all of your advertising budget into cable advertising, that means you're not in the phone book. Okay, for those of you under 25, a phone book is like, you're like, bookends, phone book. We have a small group. We're actually going to teach you all of these things. Rotary phones, the Dewey Decimal System. You're going to love it. It's incredible. So I would tell these people, college kids are never coming back. They're like, this guy's way too old. All right. So I would say, I don't want your whole advertising budget, because you're not going to be, if I take your whole budget, you won't be in the phone book. You won't be on billboards. You won't be in magazines. You won't be on the radio. You won't be in those other places. We have to do all those things. So do we still need to hand out, you know, tracts to people? Probably. Do we still need to have people on stage share publicly? Yes. Do we still need to, have revival meetings? Do we still need to, you know, do all these other things? I think we probably do. I'm not suggesting this is the only one. But it's silly to think that we surrender it to everybody else and we don't ever share our story. That seems irresponsible as well. One more illustration, and then we'll get to the other bookend. I was watching football yesterday, okay? What do you call it? This is a quiz. What do you call it when someone is carrying the football and they drop the football? What do we call that? That's a fumble, right? That's a fumble. So at that moment, the ball is now free, okay? Now, the person who normally carries the football would be, you know, the quarterback or the running back. That's who normally carries the football. But when the football lands on the ground, it's fair game. So let's just pretend for a second, I'm a very large defensive lineman, okay? Use your imagination, right? I'm a very large defensive lineman. How crazy would it be if me as a defensive lineman, I've got a really large number on my shirt, right? It's not my shirt size, the larger the number, the position, right? I'm a defensive lineman, right? The ball drops in front of me on the ground. How crazy would it be if, as a defensive lineman, I go, whoa, that's for running backs, quarterbacks, occasionally a receiver, that's for other people. I'm not touching, my job is I'm a defensive lineman. How crazy is it? Is that person gonna stay in the game very long? No, because when the ball's on the ground, what's your job? Get on it, get on the ball. Right? They don't want defensive linemen picking it up like the big hands, like, what do I do? Right? So it's like, just jump on the ball. Right? So if I offended an defensive lineman here, I'm sorry. Right? But like, get on the ball. Why do we do evangelism this way? Uh-oh, I'm getting in somebody's grill now. Why do we do evangelism this way? Well, that's not my job. That's the speaker's job on the stage. Well, that's not my job. That's somebody else's job. I'm just going to make somebody a meal. Doesn't it seem silly when we put it in that context? This is all of our job. Why else have we been given the story that we've been given? It's not just for us. I said this last week. We are story stewards. We've been given a story. God gave us a story, not for us. Yes, it's for us to receive, but then it's also to give away. not to just look at it and go, "Ooh, somebody better pick that up." That's not my job. I want to be careful with that, because that's what I just gave you there, that little part. That's probably 2/3 opinion, and it's rooted here. So don't, like, just know that. All right, so here we go. Second book in. Let's go to Revelation. So we, in the beginning, we're learning in God's story, right? That his story, he set us apart, gave us a purpose, created us to make us significant. He wants us to be in relationship with him. And then we go to the end of the story. In between there, what we get is we get a period of judges, a period of kings, you know, a period of prophets. I'm fast tracking through the whole Bible, right? Then we get the first Christmas, like Jesus, birth, life, death, resurrection, right? That's what we get. And then you get, you know, the church is established and God's church begins to grow. There you go. In 45 seconds, I gave you, you know, 66 books. There it is. Okay. So that's what happens in the middle. And then in the book of Revelation, what we get is John, one of Jesus's apostles, is there on an island by himself. And God shows him something. So let's go to Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5, and let's see what God shows John. Revelation 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. Let me pause here for just a second. Then I saw. God's showing John a movie. He's giving him a picture. He didn't say, "Then I heard." He said, "Then I saw." He didn't say, "Then I felt." He said, "Then I saw." God gives John a vision, a revelation. He plays a movie for him. He tells him a story. And he shows them, we have the creation story, which played out in front of him. And John's in on this island surrounded by waters. He's experiencing creation. And then God gives him this new picture. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. He begins to paint for him a picture. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There was no longer any sea. I saw, then he gives them this picture again. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Look at the imagery of this. Like he's painting, like, what a storyteller. He's trying to help us understand what God was showing him. He's telling us a story and he's painting the picture in our heads. Like, if I cracked open everybody's head in here, which sounds painful, but if I cracked everybody's head open and looked in and saw, like, we would see a different picture, right? You're all picturing something different. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." It's this awesome picture that John is getting, and he's trying to pass it on to us. But then I love how the story, the picture takes a turn, because it's one thing to paint it with colors and light, but look at what John does next. Look at what God gives John next, because the story starts to just layer up. "He will wipe every tear from your eyes." The story gets deeply personal. The picture becomes emotive with feelings and wiping a tear with this action. Like, there's so much richness to this. "He'll wipe every tear from your eye." Where'd I go? I lost my place. "There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And then he said to John, "Write this down, because these words, they're trustworthy and true." Why did God give John this picture that was so vivid, so personal, wiping a tear from the eye? talking about death and grief. Why did God give John such a rich, colorful picture? And then he tells him, write this down. You're going to need this story. People are going to need this story, because when they don't feel special, when they feel like they have no purpose, or even if they do know they have purpose, and then life takes them on a crazy journey, they need a picture of something bigger and brighter and better. And I need you to give them this picture. So John, write this down. You're going to have to pass this on. And think about this. He tells John to write this down so that it can be kept and passed on. But you know how many, you know what percentage of the population at that point could read? I don't either, but I know it was really small. Like, it would have been awesome. 12%. Like, based on what? I don't know. Like, I know it wasn't many. Like, you had to be like the richest of the rich people, like, to be educated to the point that you could read at that point. So no one could read. So John, write this down. So John takes really good notes, and then they start talking about it. And the people that can read, oh, this is so good. The people that can read, guess what? They start telling those stories to people who can't read. And then for the people that can't read and they can't remember the story, you know what they did? In their churches, they put up, you know, big tapestries, and people who could sew said, well, I'm going to put up this, I'm going to make a picture of that. And they put up a picture of creation and they hung that one up. Somebody's like, oh, that's good. Why don't you put a picture of this? And they put a picture, right, of Jesus being born. And then they sew this. And then somebody was like, I can't sew. I'm good with glass. Great. Make stained glass. And so we put stained glass in these churches so that when people who can't read walk in, what do they see on the walls? They see stained glass that are telling what? Stories. Throughout the centuries, stories have been the method that God uses to bring people to him. And guess what? We don't need words. We don't need them to even read it. They see the pictures and they understand. They walk around the church, and by the time you get, you know, to the last station, you know, on the wall, and you see the stained glass, you see God's story being told. Stories are just, it's a method. It's one method. It's not the only one. But I'll say this. We help people see that their story is here. It changes their world. We are story stewards. And we have to be careful, because stories can be used in multiple ways. We've got to be careful, because our stories are meant to be shared, but not to be shouted. We've got to be careful that we don't shout our stories, that we share our stories. Our stories are to be stewarded. They're to be stewarded and shared in circles and around campfires and, you know, around meals. And to ask someone, hey, what's your story? And to actually listen, because we care about their story, not because we're waiting for them to stop talking so that we can tell our story. Right, I had a friend, good friend, but he was almost obnoxious, you know, with this. Like, we'd go someplace and, you know, we're having lunch and, you know, he'd like thank the waitress, like, you're doing such a good job, thank you. Hey, can I get some salt? And like, sure, hands him the salt. Did you know Jesus is the salt of the earth? Right, you know, it's like, where are you going? What are you doing? Like, what is that? Can I get some water? Don't do it. Like, don't, like, can we get some bread? You're like, no, stop. Don't be obnoxious. Don't be weird about it. How about we just share a story? Hey, what's your story? My favorite thing to do, not my favorite thing to do, I love when somebody's got a tattoo on their arm. If I know them, like, just any amount of time, I'm like, hey, what's the story with that? Like, tell me that. Like, if you were willing to get that, you know, written on your arm or, you know, sleeve or whatever, like there's got to be a story there, man. And it's so fun to hear people just share their story. Our stories need to be used for connection, not correction. Hey, what's your story? And somebody tells us their story and then we start correcting it? How irresponsible is that? I just built a bridge of friendship with you. so that you could share your story, and you share your story with me and trust me with it, and then I start correcting you? What would happen instead if we just connected them to God's story and then we let him correct them? He is much better at correction than I am, by the way. Much better. What if we let the Holy Spirit offer the correction? Are there times we need to correct? Oh, okay, don't get carried away. Yeah, there are. But if we learn someone's story and invite their story just so we can correct it, I think we're being irresponsible. The goal is correction, or connection, not correction. The goal of sharing those stories, what if our goal is invitation rather than interrogation? To invite them into a bigger story rather than to say, why did you do this? And what's that about? And why in the world would need a da da da? What if we just shared our story in the context of somebody else sharing their story. And we could say, oh my gosh, I've been through that. Can I tell you how I got through that season of my life? Because that sounds awful. Here's how I managed it. I'm not telling you you should do what I did. I'm telling you this is how I found hope. This is how I found peace. This is how I found encouragement. And then they go, wow, that's how you found that? Yeah. Is that something you'd be interested in? Maybe not yet. Okay. Well, when you do, let me know. I'd love to chat. You've been given a story. It's yours. But the people you live with, learn with, work with, play with, they've been given a story as well. And maybe they're just waiting on someone to ask about their story so that their story can make a little bit of sense. Let me pray for us, and then we're just going to sing, and we're going to close out our time together, and I'll let the Lord just work on all of us as he wants. Lord Jesus, I love you. God, thank you for the stories that you've written in this room and that you're still writing. Lord, our stories aren't done. They're still being written. Lord, I pray that you would help us to know you, to know your story better, so that maybe, just maybe, our story will make a little more sense. And then give us the courage this week, Lord, to look at some of the people we live, learn, work, and play with, and just ask their story to see what it is that you might want to do in their story. Lord, we love you. We trust you. It's in your name I pray.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.